would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hello there, avid listeners. This is St. John Forward Radio. My name is John Forward. I'm the host of this. We're on every Monday night live from 9 till 10 on local FM 107.3. That's what you're listening to. Maybe you're listening to the podcast version on johnforward.com. But this is the show. I was going to take this past weekend off of comedy to focus on writing my Fancy Pants one man show, because I'd worked 12 days straight, which included last weekend working Saturday and Sunday doing CPR first aid course. Did not get paid for it because they have to hire somebody to do the training. It doesn't count as mandatory work training, I guess. I don't want to rock the boat. But anyway, I was going to take it off comedy, but that old bitch kept calling. And I don't know. I ended up doing a show in Oromocto in the back of a Pizza Delight. It was pretty good for live stand-up comedy. Troy Haynes in Fredericton. It was a fun show. I went to Chuckles on Friday as an audience member, and I had a great time at that show. Carrie Lee was hosting, which I'm going to come back to that, but Matt Keenan was on the show. He's been on this show a couple of times. He had a really good set, and he went over really good with the crowd. There were people yelling stuff out that he kind of brushed over. He probably could have done more with, but there was at one point somebody yelled out something that perfectly set up the punchline for the joke, and it looked like it was really off the cuff. So that was a good moment. I was glad to see him do good. He killed it. Everybody liked it. I think every one of his jokes got a good laugh. I heard that it didn't go as well at the night before, but so that was good. I always knew the kid had potential. The first time I saw him do well was at the Hubcap back in February when he beat me to take third prize in the Hubcap comedy contest, which is what I hang my entire sense of self-esteem on. But anyway, he beat me, and he deserved to, maybe. He deserved to take third place. We won't talk about which place I deserve to be in. All of the places. Arif's looking at me because I'm just going to get off this thread and get back to the pre-written material because Arif is judging me right now. But anyway, Matt Keenan will be at No Jokes Bar Deluxe on Friday, April 4th. Mark Sauve was the headliner. He did good with the crowd. It wasn't for me, though. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either. And that's fine. If Mark Sauve, if you ever want to make a cool $40, I will gladly headline you at O'Leary's on a Friday night. But yeah, it wasn't for me, but he did good for the crowd. Mark Splood returned to Chuckles after a long break, and he destroyed the room as usual. It was easily the set of the night. I'd heard most of it before. He started working on that set at the R Bar, and then he brought it back for the O'Leary show last month and built on it a little bit and refined it a bit and made some changes every time that I saw it. And he turned a good set into a great set and pulled it out for a bigger show with more stakes, and he gave the audience what their ticket dollars worth, and he sprinkled in a few new things to keep it interesting. But frankly, the whole thing just made me sick to my stomach to see Mark Splood, a comedian that I used to respect, just trotting out his greatest hits from all the way back in June 2017. It was kind of pathetic to be honest. I don't even know how he could bring himself to barf out that set four times. I could not believe it. But anyway, of course I'm just kidding. There's nothing wrong with that. Mark is not a complete maniac sometimes, and good for him for building a set. But as I said earlier, Carrie Lee was hosting. If you go back in the St. John Forward Radio archives on the last Dan McCarthy episode, whenever that was about, we got into a conversation about musical comedy, and I was very sure that I hated the concept of musical comedy, and I hated all of it except for like this person and this person and this person. But then when I was actually pressed to think of one that I didn't like, I couldn't even think of a single one. Except I made some offhand comment about how I didn't name any names, but there is like local musical comedy acts that I was not a fan of. But then after I released the podcast, somebody sent me a message the day after asking me if there were any other maritime musical comedy acts besides Carrie Lee. And I said not that I'm aware of, and this person said LOL. So I did a really clever cover-up where I pretended like I was talking about MC Crosswalk on the following episode and fooled everybody, but that is who I meant. I'd seen him years ago, I think, at the 3 Mile. He was opening for Mike McDonald on one of Shane Ogden's shows, and I wasn't into it back then, but I came into it this time. A few years of growth and therapy and yoga and deep breaths later, I wanted to have an open mind, and I liked a lot of it. He had a couple of things where he did like politically correct versions of different like popular songs, which I'm not gonna burn the joke of it, and I don't remember what specifically they were, but I liked that. And there was another one where he picked some famous songs by bands that you wouldn't think would do commercials and made them into commercials, and I'm not setting it up very well, but I enjoyed that. Most people that know me know that I have strong opinions about comedians doing impressions of Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys, so I did not like all of his set, but there aren't really many people that I see on a comedy show where I like all of their set either, so it's not anything special. But I did enjoy watching him, and he did well with the crowd. I talked to him after the show, and he was a really nice guy. Me and Carrie Lee and Mark Splude, we talked a bit about metal because we're manly men after the show, and I don't know, he seemed like a good guy, so go see him. My previous mouth off is officially being retracted here on St. John Forward Radio. My apologies, Carrie Lee. I was a bad person briefly, and I apologize. Anyway, my guest RF Hussein is glaring at me from across the board right now.
I like that you began this segment in a sort of comedy sports center meets a Catholic mea culpa.
How so? Do an impression of how I...
Well, you know, on last night's show, you know, all the teams gathered, and he had a great set, and he was in training when I saw him.
He got some RBIs.
Yeah, he really knocked it out of the park there. He sounds like that CBC guy, you know, first thing in the morning. Well, hi there! Blue Jays went out there and really, really demolished the Florida Panthers. And
just everybody at Chuckles Comedy Club just did a bang-up job.
No,
home runs all around.
No, I just came into training there, did my best, and, you know, we're just seeing the rewards. You know, we're all great teams. And, well, you know, I've made some mistakes in the past, and I apologize for for my indiscretions, and it's just like you're apologizing to a Senate committee. It's repulsive, and I don't like it.
Yes,
and I'm here to tell you the truth.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, but forward.
You can't handle the truth.
I'm gonna try to handle it. I have a seatbelt.
I'm the first
chair.
One who came up with that phrase, by the way. No one's ever come
really?
Up with that. No one's ever said it before.
That's pretty impressive. It
you
just,
can't. Yeah,
it feels like a phrase that just
nope,
should
nope,
be.
Nope. Definitely.
Thing.
Nope. Nope.
Okay.
It was right. Invented and made for by here by me, the RF Long. If you know what I mean.
RF Long.
RF Long Hussein. Yeah,
he means his penis, I think.
That's why I. All right. It's a long throat clearing.
All right,
you know what I mean.
Arif's already making funny voices, other than his own normal funny voice.
What are you talking about? It's a silky smooth.
All right,
voice.
Well, we're gonna take a musical break. Carrie Lee told me that this Judas Priest song, "The Green Minalishi" with the two pronged crown, was actually a Fleetwood Mac song.
Is that gay innuendo? Because that was the thing. That was a great big joke about Judas Priest, right?
What joke? Well,
the
Rob
fact
Halford
that he was,
is gay. Yes.
Well, the fact that no one, but he came out of the closet later, right? And all of these guys, all of these super alpha.
Who took up wearing leather and studs for all those years.
Yeah, they thought that this was... I mean, it's a great... I love Judas Priest even more now because of it, but...
Yeah, no, turns out that the king of the leather daddies was a homosexual.
Yes, it's quite surprising.
And they play a Fleetwood Mac cover, which we're going to hear right now, and then we'll be back on St. John Forward Radio.
Oof. Morning zoo of night.
Yeah!
No Diamonds and Rust for us here on St. John Forward Radio. That was Judas Priest from Unleashed in the East. Their big live album. There's some. Do you know the controversy about that that live album? Aside from the homosexuality,
I mean, that's what they call me when I go back to my country. Is Unleashed in the East?
Yeah. Well, it turns out it's a live album, but the vocals that you heard were not recorded at the live show. They were overdubbed afterwards in the studio. They blamed just poor audio quality of the singing, and so that's a little bit of a hit to the credibility.
It'd be funny there. If they just went into a racist tirade. Just suddenly they said it was East Asians. That's what we meant by Unleashed in the East.
Were you at that show? You're from the East. 1986.
In the middle of
I don't know exactly where in the East that album was recorded.
I think it was more East Asia, isn't it?
I have no idea.
I would venture to.
If anybody has any strong Judas Priest opinions, you can call 648-5925. Well, let's light up these boards.
Oh, the farthest place I've been, I went east, east of. About this, as east as you can. Maybe it's not about as east as you can go, but pretty east of Canada. I know we're on the East Coast.
Were you living the lifestyle?
I wish, you know.
Do you have certainly shirts that say so?
I own, of course, every hoodie that has ever been put out by that company. Because there's one thing I need everyone on the East Coast to know is that I live the East Coast lifestyle.
That's how you got your permanent resident card.
Yeah, you
have like a punch card after you buy like 10 hoodies.
Yeah, they give you citizenship immediately. Yeah, I got purple. I got the purple there. The red hoodie and yellow sweatshirt and yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome to Canada there.
Check out this anchor. Is there anchors on it?
Of course. Well, what else would represent East Coast lifestyle more than anchors and donair sauce?
No jokes barred. The friend.
The one definitive place where we tell it like it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just want y'all bitches to know we're just telling you like it is. That's right. The number one intersectional comedy show. In the Maritimes.
I know you have brown skin, but I think that might have been a little racist.
To who? How is that racist?
To, I don't know.
Huh?
If I have to explain it, then I'll sound racist. This is a trap.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I just want you to go into a Kramer set right on radio. So then you will never be nominated for a radio award.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be pretty disappointed. I lost to Mandy Lynn Donovan for best new program this year, so that really burned my bridges.
Why? Why would it burn your bridges?
Because
John,
I have the.
And why
the
would it be
greatest...
a disappointment that you lost to a candidate so deserving and worthy of?
It's not that I lost to Mandy Lynn; it's that I lost to any other human being on Earth, which is the true tragedy.
I mean.
It's just, and I know it just doesn't seem possible, especially if you're listening to this show right now. This is one of the greats already.
You know, I had a really killer line lined up when you said that you deserved to win all of the positions of the last year's Hubcap Comedy Festival.
All right, I'll bring it back. I think I should have won all of the places at the Hubcap Comedy Contest.
You know, if it was, if you were at your... Wait,
this is if the you one that you had primed up. It was killer. Come on, you've been thinking about this for 20 minutes.
Listen, if you were the weight that you were last year, you definitely would have filled up at least two places.
That's a good one, RF.
Thank you. Well, then, I feel like it would have gotten. I feel like it would have killed in the room, but your stoic stone face, sort of similar to the face that Charles Manson gave to the camera when they took his picture. Mm-hmm. Really is really unnerving to me right now.
That's the look I'm going for.
Well, it doesn't really match with the, I don't know what kind of, what is that, perhaps describe that nerd boy reindeer dragon t-shirt that you're wearing.
It is a Primus t-shirt of the band Primus.
Sorry, okay.
There is some sort of
goblin
creature who is holding a nude woman that I didn't notice until after I wore this to the beach at work one day, working with children.
Oh.
As I was getting changed, I'm like, oh, there's some nipples on my shirt.
Oh, you piece of garbage. I didn't know you were a Trump supporter. I didn't know that this is what kind of radio show you're running.
Well, young children were exposed to these tiny cartoon nipples because I wore it at the beach. I don't think anybody noticed.
Did any of the kids just immediately feel feelings?
Did you notice? Well, one of them specifically wanted to look at my shirt.
They had to take bathroom breaks.
And he took a good long look at it. I'm starting to put the... I think he might not have just been interested in the cool artwork. There may have been more to it.
I mean, it is that kind of artwork that would have...
It's pretty erotic.
Yeah, I mean, it is... Like, that is the kind of artwork that would have set me off into a cycle of masturbation for at least a day.
Yeah, for sure. But
if I was that back in the days of living in a sexually repressed Islamic country.
I did not get as many compliments on this shirt as I did with my my 8-bit Super Mario t-shirt that I wore in the water for a couple of days. 3 separate lifeguards complimented me on it.
Lifeguards complimented you.
That's right.
The kids didn't know why this old man is attempting to live his childhood. It's in the true. Water with this overpriced faux retro t-shirt.
It was actually a t-shirt that I got for free from Nintendo by trading in points that acquired by buying games.
Fact check my killer joke with razor sharp observations about your actual...
It's not like I'm going to laugh at it.
What?
I don't know. I was just saying it was a bad joke.
Did you contradict me?
So
your guest?
Instead of...
Did you just contradict a POC?
Well, no,
dare you?
I'm just saying...
How dare you?
Instead of laughing at it because it wasn't worthy of laughter, I was going to contradict
Everything a POC says is worthy of laughter and at least 2 hours on
POC?
Netflix. Person of color.
Okay. That's right. You heard the show. I forgot that you were a person of color who has been a guest on this show. I thought it was all white people.
Yeah, I feel
you're a real you're instead of a diamond in the rough, you're a coal in the snowbank.
Oh my god! I am a coal amongst a sea of coal. I am the darkest colored coal. No, I'm glad that I've amongst you and Mark, I've reached a OJ level. Status
true.
Of not being recognized.
You've surpassed race.
But you know, fortunately, unlike him, I am not actually hanging out with wealthy socialites. I just has-beens, failures, and mental patients is your real reward for breaking through the race ceiling.
Yeah, well, and it's good to give something back and like help us out by just being around and supporting our special needs.
Yeah, I don't like it when you keep calling me token, though. That's
I don't think I've ever used that word.
No, you have not. What are you just going to fact check everything of my razor sharp observations
about
modern race?
Spreading lies about me to my face, I'm not allowed to say no.
It's
I never
for the
said
listener.
That.
Look at they're laughing, they're cackling.
They're not
comment,
calling in.
Comment live on our Patreon page and tell John what a piece of he is. Yeah.
If you want to get into the deep discussion on race relations here on St. John Forward Radio, you can call in 648-5925. We're waiting for your call.
So I went to Cape Breton 2 weeks ago, and it is... truly an amazing...
I don't think I've ever been.
It is, it's on the... It's in Nova Scotia, right? Spent about a week there. You've heard of Nova Scotia?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. The abbreviation's NS, right? It's where you can't bring any bees in.
Huh?
There's a sign that says you can't bring any bees.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I think... I don't know what the I think there's a it's a technicality. You can bring bees, but just not certain kinds of bees.
I thought the bees were going extinct, so they could use some bees.
The honeybees?
I don't know. Yeah,
I think it's a contamination problem. You know,
it's probably
think of the.
It's either ISIS or Trump. I'm not sure which.
Yes, they actually meant by honeybees. They actually meant refugees is what they actually
yeah. There's
meant.
There's a new thing. It's not being reported by the mainstream media, but ISIS has been de-stingering honeybees live on the internet. It's pretty disturbing.
Oh my God! They've been sending in recruits with the honeybees.
Yeah, and
that's why they don't let them in Nova Scotia.
They just pick them up by their fuzzy little bums, and just in front of the camera, they just pull the stinger out, which we know kills them.
I've been watching those videos over and over again. That's what they're about. It's all just the ululating in the background as a bee is crying and
there's
a stinger removed.
Thing. It's part of their jihad against pollination.
Well, so you know, the moral of the story is
this is
honey.
This is an intelligent
drink
show
more honey.
About politics.
Yeah. So I went to Nova Scotia. I went to Cape Breton, and it is talk about just a beautiful, idyllic island with beaches, just surrounded by crippling poverty. I mean, it's one of the places like, on the beaches. They're beautiful. You know, everything's, you know, I don't know how they keep everything so pristine because you realize that it's pristine because nobody goes there a lot. No one goes there a lot. You know, there are people that are weird people who have cottages there. Some like Ethan Hawke, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Really?
Yeah, they have all of these weird cottages, all of these weird celebrities. Harrison Ford has a cottage up there somewhere in Cape Breton. They're all just in the woods. They're just living, you know.
They probably implant the locals with, like, those shock chips that you put in dogs. So if they get too close to the nice areas, they get a little bit of a little bit of a jolt, and then they go back to their hovels.
I imagine they just dropped, like, Liam Neeson in The Gray, you know.
I never saw that one, but.
Well, he
dropped in that movie? Is that what
Never
it's
mind.
About?
It's in a plane crash. It's a very abandoned place, and he's, you know, it's in the
it's
middle
the one
of the
with
woods.
The wolves, right?
Yeah, I should have said The Revenant, which maybe you would have watched. But
yeah, I saw The Revenant.
All right. Anyway, John. So it's a and one of the things they tell you is that, you know, it's the one place that you can find beach glass. Do you know what beach glass is?
Yes. Well, I think so. Like sea glass is the
yeah
is
that's
why
sea glass
yeah
right it's the one place in Canada that you can find a lot of
yeah.
beach glass, and they're not wrong about this, but and you know there are books that are written about find your true beach glass personality. I'm not kidding you, right? Written by this sort of very sort
yeah, most of
California.
At work,
surfing
when we go to the beach, the kids get really excited to find some sea glass, but almost 100% of the time, it is just a chunk of a broken beer bottle that is washed up
yeah.
on shore.
But this is, you know, you can find actual, you know, the yeah. beaches are filled with them in Cape Breton. But so you have all of these very rich tourists, you know, the ones who make it down there, picking all of this stuff up, bags and bags of them. You know, so they can decorate their, you know, giant Manhattan apartments with the, you know, with this ornate collection of you know, ornaments of pieces of broken bottles that were made thanks to 100 years of crippling alcoholism on one island.
Yeah.
It's truly, there are places where I was standing there at one of the traffic jam, and you can see the whole kind of demographic sort of try to shift or attempt to change, or in the process of changing. There's, you know, an old couple there in, you know, maybe a Toyota RAV4 and a gray Toyota RAV4, just with respectfully listening to their music with, you know, their windows rolled up, like maybe sort of, you know, something a little hokey like Brooks and Dunn or something like that. You know, dumb country a little yeah. bit, and they're enjoying
CMT
it.
CMT country.
And then at that same traffic signal, a guy in maybe a Jeep Cherokee you know, in 1985 Jeep Cherokee with gigantic wheels for some reason, just smoking a large blunt, right, right in their faces, and just.
What kind of music was happening in the Jeep?
Huh?
What's song?
Bone Thugs and Harmony. Nice. Loud. I'm not kidding. Wow, it was phenomenal. I went to a painting class, and one of my friends is an artist, Tyler McNeil. Everyone, if you're interested, he's a young artist, and he holds these painting classes just to make a little bit of money on the side.
Is it canvas and cocktails, or is it a?
Well, it's held in a bar. He doesn't really drink that much, but okay. Other people drink around him. I just went to people watch a little bit.
And that's where you go and you look at women's butts, right?
Well, he wasn't doing nudes at the time, but.
Well, no, just other women in the class. You just look at their butts.
I mean, I'm constantly checking out women's butts, but these were all sort of middle-aged women. I mean, middle-aged, mostly women. There were some guys there. The guys there were hilarious. As much as funny as the women were, the guys were even. One guy walked in. He had, you know, the top of his head was exactly like yours, exactly cut your length, with a gigantic elbow-length ponytail. All white.
That's a good mix. Did he ever whip around the ponytail to get like a unique texture and use it as a paintbrush?
No, he just walked in there. He might as well have just rolled in there with a motorcycle. Tyler was giving him instructions, and the guy wouldn't listen to him. He didn't listen to anything he said. Didn't hear a word that he said.
He's a renegade, then.
And he just made the painting all by himself. And the whole time, he just got, "What the hell am I doing? What the hell am I doing here? What am I painting here?" He says, "Well, you're painting a lobster. I just want you to feel this out." So he's trying to. Tyler was trying to give the class an impression of what it means to paint something that has a little bit of meaning, rather than go by for the paint by numbers approach. It was an interesting sort of approach. I think the...
How did Ponytail's painting turn out?
Ponytail's painting was interesting in that he completely disregarded the instructions of Tyler. He just exactly painted the lobster, as the picture of the lobster as Tyler had painted.
Yeah.
He painted a replica of it. What Tyler had intended to do was to make each person's painting unique, but he...
Did anybody draw...
And then he left the painting there, just mic dropped that entire painting. He just left it and then bolted out. Like, "I don't need it. You guys use it." Who was that guy?
Was anybody's interpretation a Teenage Mutant Ninja Lobster?
No, but there was one particular... I mean, and it is... I mean, it was truly the clash of the artists. There was one lady there who, as Tyler was attempting to give them instructions to make this abstract of this lobster, attempt to make a sort of abstract painting of a lobster, he, finding some resistance from this lady, said, "I don't understand any of this. Whatever you're saying is garbage. It doesn't make sense to me." And he says, he attempted to say, you know, because he was very young, right? So he says, "I'm sorry. You have to trust me a little bit. I know what I'm doing, right? And I know it hurts." And he says, and so she says, in a moment of what I can only describe as sort of, you know, the self-delusion and the only an artist can have, I know what you're talking about. I'm an artist too." He says, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yeah, I'm a writer." And he says, "Oh, okay. Have I read anything you've written?" She says, "Oh, don't worry, you will." And he says, "All right, okay." And the next day, she sends him a link to one of the books that she quote unquote wrote.
Uh-huh.
They're just chapters written on something called Scribd, I guess. It's just basically...
What is that?
It's, you know, it's a SoundCloud for authors. You know, any half-witted idiot can put a, you know, podcast up.
Yeah.
So that's what Scribd is. And boy, did those first two chapters not disappoint. It read, honestly, it read like the manifesto of John Doe's diary from 7. You know, just written in scribbles. And
you should have brought an excerpt and we could have read it.
I'm misunderstood. It was about a misunderstood artist living in shame and who was going to tell the world. It looked like the Ted Kaczynski's diary, you know, that you know what I'm talking about?
I know who Ted Kaczynski is.
Not his diary, but his manifesto.
Okay. I haven't read a lot of manifestos, if I'm being honest.
Neither have I. I don't know what you're trying to imply.
All right, well, let's take a break. Do you want to set up your song request?
Yes, this is a song by a band called The War on Drugs. What's the name of the song? It's off of a new album that Thinking of a Place or something like that. A deeper understanding. I don't listen to a lot of music. Most of what I listen to as musical taste has been described, I think, slightly uncharitably as stupid, idiotic, old manish, and annoying. This is about the hippest thing that I listen to. I don't listen to much as far as music goes because I only listen to podcasts and, you know, alpha male stuff.
Yeah, like you listen to a lot of Smash Mouth, I imagine.
Come on. They are a misunderstood band, I think. Hidden geniuses. Anyway, so here's The War on Drugs.
After Station ID.
This is Sarah Rankin, your friendly, fundy Fringe Festival director, and you're listening to Local 107.3.
Way to pick a song with a music video that has a non-musical intro, Arif.
Well, I didn't know that this was going to have an intro to it.
Old man eating at his kitchen table.
Yeah.
We'll just narrate it until it starts.
Yeah, he's just waking up in the morning and he looks outside his window. He sort of looks like an old Danny Glover.
There is a white horse. All right, the music's starting. We can shut up now.
Once I was
We're back on St. John Forward Radio. I'm here with RF Hussein.
Hey.
The hot topic going around the comedy scene is hearing a lot about our comedy duo set that we did at the last Arbar show.
Uh-huh.
What do you? We've done that a few times. I don't know. People are saying that we have a good dynamic for that sort of a thing.
If you mean inherent race hatred, then the answer is correct.
People want to see me burn a cross on your lawn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's inherent patriarchy, misogyny,
mm-hmm.
Mainly brought on by my from me, by my.
Well, I am tired as a team. You can pick up white, the misogyny end of the bargain.
Listen. There needs to be a new Big D POC in town. I need my very own Indian Netflix comedy special. All right, where I talk about, at length, how I am a stranger and a fish out of water. I don't think that there has been an Indian comedy special that has addressed these issues in the past. But I think that we've... we've done well, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've done
it's
it
crowd
a few
work,
times.
I suppose.
Yeah, it's...
It's easier to do it with you.
I like bouncing off. That's kind of the dynamic I used to have on the H to the C show with the various co-hosts that were doing that. Like, I think I operate well just, like, bouncing stuff off of somebody, and I don't know. We even did it on the street that time last year during the Fringe Festival, and I think between the two of us... We can entertain any audience. If they hate me, then they might like
the
you.
The Siegfried and Roy of, you're the gay one, I'm assuming, in this relationship. Or both of them, gay?
Wouldn't we have to both be gay if we were in a relationship?
This is true. Were they in a relationship, Siegfried and Roy?
I don't know.
Okay. One of them got eaten by the tiger, and that tiger... I hope that is you, and by tiger, I mean Vice Magazine blog
it's
post.
It's possible that Siegfried and Roy and the tiger were in some kind of a love triangle, and there was some jealousy issues with the tiger.
Someone made love to the tiger.
Yeah, so anyway, reviews.
Good.
For our
language is
duo.
Your tool.
Yes. The latest Spludcast, Mark suggested that the two of us should host the R Bar permanently. I don't think it's a bad idea, but if I'm being honest, I'm reluctant to give up the stage time.
Oh, of course, I understand.
Because
you don't want to be overshadowed. You don't want to be overshadowed by my extremely large genitals, if you know what I mean.
I don't know if that's the right stereotype.
This is true.
I want to be able to do my own
solo
set.
Do whatever you think,
set.
Man. You don't have to. It was a fun
well,
time.
I was
fun to do that.
I was thinking my weakest hosting is like the intro part of the show. And I think if you were interested, we could maybe open the shows.
Yeah, I'll have my people talk to your people, and yeah, of course.
And because that way, if it's
anything you want to do, baby.
If it's just the opening, I still get to we can both still do like our solo
crowd
sets. You're going to be on the next August show anyway, so I wouldn't want to take away your opportunity to shine.
Listen, I have very
artist.
Witty observations about our current zeitgeist that I feel like I need to be need to be shared with
you
the
just, you could do a
bored
whole set
audience
on Cape
members.
Breton.
That's right. That's what I intended to do.
That's what the R Bar is clamoring for, Cape Breton tales.
Oh, listen, man, I have a few of them.
I think we have a good dynamic, and I think the audience would like it, but just for my own selfish purposes, I'm reluctant to have my time clawed back, but
it was fun.
I think it would be good.
You killed that night, man. You're great off the cuff, and that the way you destroyed those. I don't like to use the word destroyed because I think the word has been used by let's just say appropriated by comedians to mean completely something else.
Yeah.
heck, comedian destroys. Did you really?
Yeah.
You just, in different ways, implied that he was either an orphan, either a failure. What is the other thing that you can imply? His mother was perhaps a woman of low moral standard.
Yeah.
And or that he was an in the closet homosexual man. Mm. Those are all those are the things that you can basically go to.
Yeah, that's the bread and
butter. You have a tiny penis, usually.
Yeah. Well,
that helps.
Yeah, it was. I think I did well overall, but it was a slow start. I'd been thinking about even before that night, like the
you had such a good comeback too, man. And did you whip that out?
Yeah, I just thought of it when in the moment.
Immediately. Yeah, so you should. Did you explain? Did you tell your audience what this was?
No,
you didn't explain what this was. We're gonna have to explain in euphemisms.
We'll have to clean it up for radio.
Yeah,
and this is not this is a purely functional thing. There wasn't anything homophobic in
my heart. Oh my God! When I stop said with
it.
The throat clearing.
This radio first of all, show no. is a safe space, and I don't want to infringe trigger warnings all around. This guy was mouthing off in the back and was.
You have to describe these men.
Explicitly, dude bros, meatheads.
Don't say dude bros. That's just N-word for intersectional people, by the way.
Okay.
I heard
it from May, so it makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's what the intersectional people use to.
Right. Well,
it's
anyway,
like a new form of calling someone the N-word.
Frat boy types.
Yeah, giant muscle dudes.
Yeah, they should have punched me in the face, but
Six years ago, they would have been wearing one of those shell necklaces at an outdoor music festival.
Yeah, they probably own lots of Ed Hardy shirts.
Yeah, they would. You
glasses
know,
on the head.
Yeah,
on the top of the
Oakley's
head.
On the head.
Yeah,
while wearing a hat.
So, just mouthing off and rightly calling on me for being boring and not telling any jokes, but I was leading up to it. And he kept interrupting me, and I had kind of fake yelled at them at first, and that didn't really help, and then eventually the guy yelled out, "I bet I make more money than you," to which I responded, "That's because I'm not willing to suck that many dicks per hour." I thought of that in the moment, and I thought it was an interesting angle, because I was also doing that thing. I was just saying that he does more of it than I do, and then I elaborated on some of the techniques and the reasons why.
Yeah,
he's more successful at it than I am.
Dare I say, yes, you really went into the poetic specific details of what that might include,
yeah.
Of how many, how much... perhaps semen one would encounter if you were to be of a vocation that involved
right.
such an act
yeah,
for extended periods of time over and over
on
again.
Medical terms, there was substances.
We need to be clinical about this. Treat this like an episode of ER, where this is the post-mortem.
This is a purely academic discussion on...
Listen, this is the only kind of discussions I ever do with comedy. You know, it's very important to dissect comedians over and over again.
This man was shattered so much that... I heard that his friends laughed at him. And that's usually when it's a good turnaround, when you can turn the people... who are there with the heckler against
their
friend.
They were pointing
friend.
And laughing at him, at his face, at his dumb face.
Yeah, I think it's just like a weird alpha thing, because even though none of us are, it seems like we're a bunch of, like, betas posing as alpha. I guess we are. And, hey, that guy's talking into a microphone. So I'm somehow, like, he's like the dog... who wants to stand up on the picnic table so that he's higher than the rest of the dogs.
Yeah, I guess he was mouthing off at Mark as well.
Yeah, I forget the
Jamie
details
or someone
of it,
like
but
that.
there was some mouthing off in the outside, and then it spilled into
it. It was truly heroic. I mean, it was one of the most, it was the greatest thing, because it was a great turnaround, because I saw them walk in, knew they were going to be a problem, and I've never seen it happen again. Have it happen before, and I don't think it'll ever happen again, where someone has managed to keep a heckler,
shut down
a heckler, and have the heckler sort of leave in humiliation.
Yeah, like that's the ideal situation for it.
And you did it. And the rest of your life is, your every failure.
I hurt a man's feelings. and made him stop hurting ours.
Yes. No, and he deserved to have his feelings hurt. Yeah. He is going to go home and then continue to not talk to his kids for the next 10 years so they too can grow up exactly like him.
Yeah,
so you've perpetuated a cycle of shame and rejection.
Well, I feel I've got that comeback in the toolbox now, but I don't know how often someone is going to yell out that they make more money than me.
It's a very strange... Before it used to be, yeah, you know, I'm going to beat you up, or, you know, I had sex with your mother, or something like that. But this is a sort of very... this is the first time I've ever heard anyone compare paychecks.
Yeah, it's weird. I had, like, insulted him and called him poor or something, and then saying, like, I probably make more money than you, I don't know.
That's like a new sort of...
I think somebody just got a job at the refinery.
Yeah.
And they're very proud of it.
Yeah, that must be the sort of a new kind of, you know, that's the new sort of working class aesthetic, right? The working class mentality, which is that, you know, I went to college and I make more money than you... You know, you queens went to, you know, you got your arts degree at UNB, and you know, I just went, just took a plumbing, you know, and $400,000, boom, CDU, boom.
What are you doing? CDU money.
What are you doing? Fixing my frappuccino at the Starbucks there.
Just. So, yeah, sorry, I was distracted there.
What were you distracted by?
There's a video happening behind you where there is some sort of slop being poured on women and then it being pulled off. I assume it's some sort of hair removal thing. It's kind of mesmerizing.
Brilliant. It's good. You've got the attention span of...
Hey, of a I see a shiny...
Teenager in Brunswick Square shopping mall.
Well,
in the food court.
We're coming towards the end of the program. Do you have any final thoughts? We've got about 4 minutes left.
You're judging that roast battle, aren't you?
Yeah, right. When's that?
I thought sometime in August, 2 weeks in August. I think it's August 13th or something like that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that sounds about right. What, August 13th-ish? It's a Sunday.
Sunday, I think.
Yeah,
maybe.
There's going to be the roast battle. Do you know what the format is? Is it going to be four
I have no
jokes?
Idea. I was going to ask you what the format was, actually.
I listened, well, Sam and Matt were on their podcast,
right.
And they were debating whether to do four jokes or five, but I think it's going to be similar to, like, the Comedy Central roast battle as far, it'll be, like, back and forth.
Back and forth, five jokes?
Yeah.
I honestly... I'll say this to you because I only want to do this if it's going to be my friends. Like, I wouldn't want to battle someone who wasn't a friend of mine.
Yeah,
because it would just be too weird.
Yeah, I didn't want to sign up for the actual.
Like, I have no interest in the winner's part of it, the winning part of it. I know this doesn't sound, you know, in the age of.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea of just going on to the next round and then just whoever you end up landing with, it might not be somebody that you know super
well. Yeah, it gets weird, dude. Like those comedy roast battles, Comedy Central roast battles, they're not... If you watch them closely, the ones that people who are not friends with each other, it gets really weird and it doesn't get funny. It's not funny.
Well, even like the Friars roast style roast like we did... for my birthday, like even that was kind of outside my comfort zone.
Well, one of them went off the rails. The Shane Ogden one went off the rails.
Yeah.
Yours went off the rails, you felt a little bit?
No, I meant that was, like, I prefer that as opposed to the battle thing, because we're all friends and we kind of, it was more curated and we had more time ahead of time to write something on everybody. The battle, I don't know. How.
Yeah, this MMA style mixed martial arts comedy doesn't really...
Yeah, it doesn't seem
really
as,
appeal to me,
as cordial. I don't even know what that word means. I assume I'm using it right. I'm going to assume.
Cordial? Congenial?
Yeah, that's probably better. So, yeah, we've got that. RF's going to be battling Mark Splude. I forget who else is on that one, but you can find it on Sunday afternoons on Facebook.
Mark and I are old friends, so it shouldn't be... It's not going to be... I don't think it's going to get weird.
Yeah.
Unless he decides to just do like a Tombstone pile driver.
You're just going to get down and just punch you in the groin.
Yeah, I imagine that's what will happen.
So
that's
how
we've
got
ends
that.
The battle.
What's going on? I got No Jokes Bar Deluxe coming up for next Friday, August 4th at O'Leary's. Brittany Campbell's going to be headlining that. Shane Ogden's hosting. Matt Keenan and Steve Fudge in the middle. I'll probably be on there too. And then the R Bar on whatever the third Saturday of August is. RF will be on that. Mark Splude will be on that. A bunch of other people. And then John Forward's Honey Garlic Storytelling Show for the Fringe Festival, August 21st to the 25th. It's all on johnforward.com. Thank you, RF Hussein, for joining me.
Thank you, John. Always a pleasure.
Do you have anything else you wanted to plug?
This was fun. Oh, the Tucker Park Road, my podcast,
Yes.
is on SoundCloud. I do it with Jason and a friend of mine. None of them are comics, but we talk about comedy and politics and movies. A lot of it is boring. Some of it is funny.
All right.
Well, check it out.
Check it out. This has been St. John Forward Radio. If you want to kiss him after a show, just tell him that he's handsome and funny.
Doesn't take much.